Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this special time. I pray that you'd get the honor and the glory. I pray for special wisdom and power for the task at hand. It's a pleasant task. It's a fun task, but I can't do it, and you can.
Right.
I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit of background and introduction to start off. We'll try to build a runway if we can so we can get took off here. Acts chapter 7, verse 23. And when he, that's talking about Moses, if you read the right in front of this in the first five chapters of Exodus, talking about Moses, a miracle child. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Moses' life is divided into three equal parts, 40 years each. And the first 40 years, he was in Egypt learning his multiplication tables, his gazintas, and his phonics, and how to read and write and stuff like that. Then in verse 29, then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Now, Midian, when he fled across the desert to Midian, Midian is a descendant of Abraham and his second wife, Keturah, and they'd been over there on the other side of the desert with the truth all along. So Moses gets the false little G gods of Egypt drilled out of him, and he gets the truth. He gets indoctrinated on the other side of the desert. And in verse 30, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness, 40 years later now, on Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And so he spent 40 years in Wilderness University to be the pastor, to be a preacher. Then verse 36, he brought them out, or a leader, let me say, he brought them out a prophet. How about that? After that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea in the wilderness 40 years. We'll be talking about this 40 years. We keep bumping into the 40 years. Verse 38, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. The title, if you want a title, is the church in the wilderness. Now, that made a lot of people mad right there. We'll try to explain it in a little bit. The church in the wilderness with an angel, which he spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give us. Then in verse 42, you see at the end of it, by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. Pastor Moses was only a pastor for 40 years. There's a period of time, 1500 B.C., almost exactly 1500 B.C., like 1520 to 1480 B.C., not the whole Old Testament. The Old Testament is not a church. Israel is not the church. And from after this 40 years, Joshua leads them across the Jordan River, and right there the church in the wilderness ends. We're not talking about Joshua to Malachi. That's not it. It's just a 40-year period. It starts in Exodus chapter 12, and it ends at the end of Deuteronomy. That's all it is, just a 40-year period. And we're going to compare it with the New Testament church. The New Testament church period, it has a time period too. It's from the cross to the return.
Right.
From the cross to the return. And we're just going to, by definition, do some compare and contrast and just some fun facts to know and tell. How about that? Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians 10:11. This is my point here, really. And all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. Now, I would compare it like this, the best I could think of. Israel's the wife of Jehovah, just like Sister Cheryl is the wife of Preacher. And the church is the bride of Christ,
right,
just like Lindsay is the bride of Philip. Two time periods. This home started 20 years ago. Two entities, two homes, two roofs. But the same God.
Right.
The same God. Now, the word wilderness is in the Holy Bible 305 times. 270 in the Old Testament, 35 in the New Testament. The word church does not appear in the Old Testament.
Right.
We're only going with this right here where it says the church in the wilderness. And the same word for church is used all 115 times in the New Testament. And it's used in the same way. It's not the same word, but it's used in the same way that the word congregation is used, which means a company of called out ones.
Right.
The word congregation is used 355 times in the Old Testament, but only once in the New Testament. It's in Acts 13:43. Now when the congregation was broken up. Sound like a New Testament church? No, I'm kidding. When it was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Congregation and wilderness appear together in 12 verses similar to this. Exodus 16:1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness. This is one of the big points. I don't know if it's the big point. It's like we've been hearing on Wednesday over and over again. They acted as one body. It doesn't say one body. Israel acted, we could say, as one nation or as one congregation. But one point is they all came out.
Right.
Which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation departed. Well, verse 2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Guess what? They all complained too. They all murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And verse 3, and the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. They considered themselves one nation, one body, one congregation. And also, I'm getting way ahead of myself, you may hear this again, but what they murmured about the problems in the wilderness was, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What wherewithal shall we be clothed? And I can't help but think, a while back, we were talking to, Kim and I were talking to her brother Greg and Debbie. We're going to meet at the mall at Clarksburg, where they live. And you'll never believe what we talked about. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and wherewithal shall we be. What are you going to wear? Well, I do go through and ask Brother Greg, I said, what color blue jeans are you going to wear? So I'll know which one. The Lord Jesus also told of an unborn church, a church yet to be born, in Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, he hadn't died on the cross yet.
Right.
We just got through agreeing that the church started on the cross, like the preacher's been telling us. Out of his side, the church was born of that blood. Well, the Lord Jesus predicts it here, and he said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Lord said there's going to be a church.
Right.
He promised it. Now, I'm not talking about, I don't want to confuse nobody. I'm not talking about replacement theology. I'm not talking about covenant theology, reformed theology. I'm not talking about Calvinism, because I don't read their books. I don't know what they believe. I just read this book, and that's all I'm giving you.
Amen.
If it uses some of the same language, I can't help it. And don't miss this. The church is not Israel.
Right.
The church is not Israel. Okay, the first big point, we got the title. What was the title? Church in the Wilderness. Good. First big point is through the blood. Through the church in the wilderness come through the blood just like we did.
Right.
Exodus 12:11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Right.
Don't forget, we'll be talking about this in a minute. For I will pass the eyes of God. It's not the death angel. God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And the blood shall be to you for a token. It's a token because it's a picture of Calvary. The blood that was shed on Calvary. This church in the wilderness is going to start just like our church started. It's a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The church in the wilderness started with the blood, and the New Testament church is born of the blood on Calvary, out of the Lord's side. Pastor Moses and Pastor Aaron did miracles, many miracles, before this night we just read about, leading up to the Passover. The Lord Jesus Christ did many miracles leading up to Calvary. We've been looking at them in John in Sunday school.
Right.
Many miracles before. Now the Lord God did those miracles for Moses and Aaron. There's about 10 of them. The Lord's got about 30 of them, I think. He's at least three times better. The New Testament church was born on Calvary from the side of the second Adam in full bloom after the resurrection. I look at it like this is another example of Paul says in Romans we're saved by faith. We believe by faith in Calvary. But then James said, show me your works. And the Lord showed us on resurrection day. He said, okay, here it is. He'd already showed us he was God when he walked on water. He showed us he was God when he made a blind man see. He showed us he was God. He made crippled legs walk when he raised the dead. But he proved it again one more time when he rose from the dead. The theme of Exodus is redemption by the blood of the Lamb. It changed their condition completely. For one thing, the firstborn are alive. They're not dead now.
Right.
Anybody in here alive?
Yes,
used to be dead, now you're alive. The blood on the lintel said the Lamb is slain, the ransom's paid, the captive's free, and justice is satisfied.
Yes. Amen.
And God puts a difference between Egypt, the Egyptians, and Israel.
Yes.
God puts a difference. The church and Israel are completely different. That 40 years is a picture. We're going to look at it some more. The contrast, now we're talking about the comparison and contrast. We're going back and forth. I hope I don't confuse you. Israel will inherit the earth come what may.
Right.
It's going to happen. God done said it.
Right. Amen.
God done said it. Now it's probably from all I can see going to be after the tribulation. But she's going to do it. God
right.
done went and said it. And guess what? We're going to heaven come what may.
Yes.
No
Amen.
Matter what. It's a difference. Israel and the church are not the same. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's lessons we can learn from these examples.
Sure.
Both Israel, the church in the wilderness, which the church in the wilderness is made up of Israelites, of Israel, and some of the mixed multitude they brought with them.
Right.
But the purpose for both Israel and us is to show that there's one God who's over all and He's holy.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be holy.
Yes, we are.
That's the hope. They both had the same purpose. Exodus 10:21. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But, I said there's a difference. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
Right.
That's amazing. That's so amazing to me right there. And guess what? God did it. Yes. Nobody else could have done that. God puts a difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite. Between the Egypt and the church in the world. Israel's redemption was through the blood. What's the title? Church in the Wilderness. What's the first big point? Through the blood. You can't get them all. Now, Janie can't play no more. Y'all got to help her. The second big point is through the flood. Through the flood. Through the water, through the cloud, through the baptism. I hesitated to use the Red Sea as a picture of baptism, but let's just read something here in 1 Corinthians 10. Yeah. Well, about that. Yeah. The preacher's way ahead of us, like always. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Right.
Now, we're baptized unto Jesus, unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But this is a picture. We're looking at pictures, examples for similarities and contrasts.
Right.
And all did drink of that same spiritual rock. And guess what, Brother Clark? They drank of that same spiritual rock. Three songs about the rock.
Yeah.
And this is a preacher who loves this right here. It wasn't just a regular old rock. It's a rock that followed them.
Right.
He was telling me about it the other night. Yeah. This rock followed them all through that wilderness. What about that? The rock that followed them, and guess what? That capital R rock was Christ.
Amen.
The rock that followed them was Christ. That's right. Exodus, we're talking about through the flood now. Exodus 12:29. It came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead.
Right.
Either a son or a lamb. One of them was dead. For Israel, it was a lamb. For Egypt, it was a son.
Right.
Exodus 13:3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of hand the Lord brought you out. It wasn't them, it was the Lord. From this place there shall no leavened bread be eaten. Again, just like the Lord put light in some of the houses, the Lord brought them out.
Yes.
We didn't bring ourselves out. Somebody came by and said, look here, I want to show you something.
Yes, that's good.
I'll just go ahead and remind us right here. You know, gathering straw and making bricks really wasn't that great.
Yeah.
It really wasn't that great. That's where I belong. That's where I fit. That's where I came from. But really, it wasn't that great. Exodus 12:51, it came to pass the selfsame day. That's why in the beginning we read the verse about where they ate the Passover lamb with their shoes on, their staff in their hand, their armor on. And the selfsame day, the day they got saved, they headed toward the baptismal pool through the flood. The day, the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children out of the land of Egypt by their armies. At midnight, they started on their wilderness journey to the Holy Land. The day the Lord saved me, that was 3 days over to the Red Sea. The day the Lord saved me, I started toward getting back. Now, it took me about 3 weeks before I got there. But I'm still headed toward a holy place, toward heaven. And they are too. They're headed toward the promised land. And they started the self same day that the blood saved them. At midnight, they start on their wilderness journey, their pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is a journey to a holy place, a sacred place, to the promised land, if you will. Exodus 11:7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that they may know how that the Lord put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God did it. God did it. Now the whole world will not get saved. They did bring some with them. A mixed multitude, we learn later. God has called a people out. And we just heard this word Sunday, to mirror Him. To mirror Him. Let's look at it in John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's what the Lord said. What's the title? Okay, anybody but Janie. She can't play. What was it? What's the title? Church in the Wilderness. What's the first big point? Through the blood. Second big point. Through the flood. The third big point is to the table. And that's why you came tonight, I hope. To get some. I hope you're getting something. The wilderness is a region uninhabited, uncultivated, a forest or barren plain. But in Israel, the wilderness was a desert. There was nothing there. There was no GPS. There was no path. No one had ever passed this way before. There was these are helpless sheep. There was no pantry, no cellar, no canned goods, nothing. They were exposed. There was no food, no water. Anybody remember how many there were? It's 600,000 men. If each one of them had a wife, what is it? Right, 600,000 men. The Bible's specific about that. And if each one of them had a wife, that's 1.2. million. If they had a kid or two, that's 2 million or more. And then they had cattle. Almost as much cattle. Deuteronomy 2:7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. We keep bumping into 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. I believe I'd go ahead and say the same thing.
Yeah.
The Lord has went way past my needs. Deuteronomy 8:4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. The 40 years was a special unit of time for the church in the wilderness. Why? God was there.
Right.
Why'd they go? God was there. All springs are in Him. Hand to mouth. I call Sam sometimes. I say, Sam, how you doing? He say, oh, just hand to mouth. His hand, my mouth. Faith in the Word of a divine living God is why they were there. God was there. Exodus 5:1. God had told them a good while before this. He told Moses, they went in. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Why? That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.
Right.
That's the church today. We're going to have a feast Tuesday. We're going to have a feast Sunday morning at 10. At 11 there will be another feast. That night there will be another feast. Wednesday night there will be another feast.
Right.
All we get done is feast in the wilderness. That's why He called you out. That's all He's wanting is to gather up.
That's why we're here. Yeah.
The third big point's the feast in the wilderness. That's why. Exodus 11. Well, what are they going to eat?
Good.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speaking to them, at evening you'll eat flesh Don't worry about it. We're going to meet up at the mall. We're going to eat some flesh. And in the morning you'll be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass at the evening that quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning dew lay around about the frost, the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. Oh, I'd love to taste it. I've never eaten quail either. But it all sounds good to me. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, manna's a picture of pure doctrine.
Yeah.
But you know what? They got tired of it.
Yeah.
They wanted a stage with smoke coming up out of it, and somebody sitting on a stool with a turtleneck and saying, now, this is old-fashioned, and I got something new here. It's a lot better. You'll probably like it. They got tired of the pure doctrine. Exodus 17:6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. And water's a picture of the word too. But they got tired of that. You know, sometimes I get tired of water. I take a Gatorade sometimes instead of water. They got tired of it.
Yeah.
They got tired of it. We're looking at the church in the wilderness to try to learn about the church in the pew. Or maybe, how about the church with the air conditioner? How about the church in the catacombs? That was right after the cross. How about the church in the world? Hey, how about the church on the carpet? You know, it won't be long we're going to get called in on the carpet. Now, I know it's one unit, one body, unity, all that stuff. But there's some things that's individual. Repentance is individual. Rewards are individual. Judgment Day is individual. It's not going to be very long. Brother Rick's going to get called in on the carpet.
Right.
We'll be looking at my feet. We'll be looking down. They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And man, that's dumb. It's dumb. They turn back in their hearts, just like I do. They turn back. It's better not to vow a vow. There's nothing in this world to feed on.
Right.
You'll starve flat to death in this world.
Amen.
Those man-made books, Brother Dennis, you'll starve on them. You'll starve to death. All creature springs are dead and dried up. All self springs are dead and dried up. In all their unbelief. Now, this is church in the wilderness. This wouldn't be y'all or us. In all their unbelief, in all their forgetfulness, even what day it is, in all their ingratitude, he never took his eye off of them for one moment.
That's right.
In 40 years. I should have a single eye on him.
Yeah.
Him whose name is sufficient for all the soul salvation and maintenance. I cannot take too low a place. My face in the dust is very becoming. That's what they did when they made straw bricks. It's a fact that the heart's so deceitful that we imagine our own righteousness. That's why we must keep the cross before us.
Yes, amen.
What time you quit, preacher? I need to take sides with the Lord against self. I need to be ready to stand still, go forward, left, right, wait, charge, retreat. No, sometimes he'd tell them retreat. I said, y'all come up there and pretend like you're going to fight. We're going to have a bunch back here behind the city. And then when we come out against you, you retreat and come back. And we'll come around, circle, burn the city down. I need to be ready to do any of that. Lordship. I need the Lord engraved on my heart.
Yes,
on my heart. Now, when they moved the tabernacle, that tent where they worshiped in the wilderness, Gershom had nothing to do with the boards and pins. Merari had nothing to do with the curtains and the coverings. Everybody had their own job.
Right.
And nobody fussed about it. The Lord laid it all out. It was divine. Nobody cared. It was prayed in the prayer tonight. Nobody cared who got the glory as long as it was the Lord. It was a divine rule and order. There was no reasoning. I mess up when I start reasoning.
Right.
I just need to read it and do it.
Yes,
just need to read it. It does not matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter what your job is. It's important. Or it's not important. If it's for the Lord, see, I don't have to be the one that sings. I'm so jealous of Sister Cheryl. I don't have to be the one that sings a solo. I can do something else. It doesn't have to be my job.
Right.
Everybody's got one. And whatever your job is, it's important. Or it's not important. Like me, when I'm wasting time. If I waste time, it's not important. But if I'm doing something for the Lord, it's important. It doesn't matter if it's sweeping the hall. It's important if I'm doing it for the Lord. It doesn't matter if I'm moving the boards and pins or the curtains and the coverings. It doesn't matter. Everything has value, even the pins and the sockets. I can see Caleb Collins putting that tent up and taking it down. Boy, it had trained him so well. And he had those little pins and the little nuts that went on the top of the stakes. And he would climb up on the tent. And he'd carry those coffee cans around, gather them all up, put them all out, whichever way they was going, taking it up or putting it down. And that was important. Every nut, every bolt's important. It'd be a lot more important, though, one of those bolts to hold that tent up for the Lord is more important than if you was in Egypt with a king's scepter waving that thing around.
Right.
It's a holy privilege to touch the smallest pin in the wonderful tabernacle.
Yes,
to put the prayer request papers in the pews is a great privilege. Egyptians can't do it. We get to do it. We get to do it. It wasn't a small ordeal. Numbers 4:48 says even those that were numbered of them were 8,504. There was 8,580 people that moved to tabernacle. It's all laid out, and God gave each one. God had ordered it so that everyone knew exactly what to do. Submission. It's all it was. All I need to do is hoe my row.
Right.
I don't need to be sticking my nose over there in your row. All I need to do is hoe my row. Now, Kohath, he missed the point of how important the staves was. He was already a minister, a worker, but he wanted to do the priest job. He wanted to be a priest, the priest, matter of fact. But human reasoning sees the flaws and the faults. Faith sees the gems. See how it's all put together. Time in Egypt was lost. There was no altar, no worship, no communion. We only learn by dwelling in Christ.
Right.
Tuition is too expensive for experience to be the best teacher. Let me say it one more time.
Yeah.
I heard that about 100 years ago. Uses a lot. Tuition is too expensive for experience to be the best teacher. I need to go with this. The book that exposes my heart reveals the one that meets every need.
Yes, sir.
How about this? This is new to me. Come see a book that told me all things ever I did.
Yeah.
Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. We all think, and too many times I say what I think with no filter, and it just all comes out.
Yeah.
I need this light to help me. The enemy will not object to and will mingle with the work if he can remove the holy name from it. He'll get in there and shovel too. Well, I'm thinking I better quit. It's 8 o'clock. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these kind brothers and sisters. I pray you bless them. Cleanse me of Rick, of that self we're talking about. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.